Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
On FM in Newark, DAB in Lincolnshire and around the world, this is Radio Newark Sport. And with a little bit of luck, we even got the music. Delicate hands, you see, and it's delicate hands that we begin with tonight, because goalkeeper Joe Hart and midfielder Jack Wilshere have been left out of the England World Cup squad, which is going to be announced by Gareth Southgate tomorrow, so I'm not really sure how we all know this. Anyway, Hart, 31, has won 75 caps, but has a poor season, conceding 39 goals in 19 Premier League games for West Ham. Arsenal's 26-year-old Jack Wilshere has been injury plagued for most of his career, but has managed 38 appearances this season. One man that rumoured is to be going, though, is Fabian Delph at Manchester City. Why, I don't really know. And England have recalled batsman Josh Butler and called uncapped off-spinner Dom Best for their first test against Pakistan starting next week. Lancashire's Butler, 27, has not played first-class cricket this season, but has made 5 successive 50s in the Indian Premier League. Well, that's good practice for a test match, isn't it? Best replaces Somerset teammate and Leicester arm singer Jack Leach, who broke a film on Monday. Mercedes driver Lewis Hamilton says his dominant Spanish Grand Prix victory had revitalised him after a difficult start to the season. Britain Hamilton led from pole and he's now got a 17-point advantage in the championship. England flanker James Askew signed for Northampton Saints for the next season on a 1-year contract. The 33-year-old is leaving Wasps in the summer and must be playing club rugby in England to be selected for the national side. And Everton manager Sam Allardyce's future is set to be decided in the next 48 hours, with former Watford boss Marco Silva the main candidate to replace him after just 6 months in charge. And Fulham booked their place in the Championship playoff final at Wembley as they overturned a first leg deficit by beating Derby at Craven Cottage. No, don't laugh. No, don't laugh. On tonight's show, Peter Davies is at Sport HQ to talk about the Newark Half Marathon, which is coming up very quickly. And to help him, he's brought along Stacey Atkins Roday, otherwise known as Philippa Clark. Amber Owens talks about the County Championships, and Graham Welsh talks Newark Striders. And Tony Smith just talks.
You can tell us before 9 o'clock.
Now, I've put your mic up.
You can tell it's before 9 o'clock.
I wondered
how you're going to finish that.
I can get away. I can just about get away with it. Local headlines. And it's gold medals galore for our young athletes at both the Notts and the Lincolnshire County Championships over the weekend. Led by the Owens family, Newark Athletic Club recorded one of its greatest ever weekends. Special mention to Joseph Monk with a silver medal on Saturday, and then on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock he won the first ever Newark Junior Park Run. 142 youngsters ran the event, with the Newark Athletic Club members finishing the first 3 positions, Josh Clee and Tom Braithwaite completing the podium. And Collingham play their 34th and final league match tonight away to Bentley, knowing that only a victory will guarantee them a third place finish.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Okay, he announces, the FA's yes man as a manager announces his squad tomorrow, but for some reason already we seem to know big chunks of it. Joe Hart not going, totally agree with.
Yeah, I mean, he's got no place in the squad because he's out of form. So basically, it's no surprise. Jack Wilshere is a bit unfortunate to miss out because he's been playing quite well lately and, as you say, got 32 games under his belt, which is what he normally plays in 10 seasons.
We'll discuss this at length before the World Cup, but really, apart from Dele Alli, I don't think he's going to take a creative midfield player.
There's a lot of
I'm going, and this is going to be me whinging that he's not taking Jonjo Shelvey.
There is a lot of talk about Jonjo Shelvey, but
he's the only man that can pass the ball forward at distance.
He certainly had a very good game on Match of the Day at the weekend.
So I just cannot understand. Apparently, it's his disciplinary record that lets him down. Well, hello, I think there's one or two more in that squad that's been sent off more times than Jonjo Shelvey.
Well, basically, Shelvey is the English Scott Brown, isn't he?
No, the fact is he plays for a team that's sort of north of Yorkshire, so he can't. So he won't get a look in. So, anyway, we'll talk about that one at length. They've recalled Josh Butler to the test squad on the back of five consecutive 50s in the Indian Premier League.
Mm.
So who's going to play? Is it going as just as a batsman, or is Bairstow just the batsman? Who's the wicketkeeper out of the two?
Bairstow.
So you're playing. So then you're now saying Josh Butler is one of our top batsmen, even though he's not played any proper cricket.
It makes you wonder what sort of shots he's going to be playing, doesn't it?
He's going to be playing the sort of shots which means he's either going to go to a glorious 100 before lunch on the first day, or he's going to be back after 10 minutes, which sums up the one-day circus.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, I think these days you've got to have people in the test side that know how to bat all day, first and foremost, because test cricket is played over 5 days and the one-day bash is what it says on the tin.
You know what I think about Yorkshire and Yorkshire sportsmen, but the one good, fantastic, brilliant sportsman that's come out of that county as a batsman is Jeffrey. He played test cricket how it should be played. You've got 5 days to win the match, not 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I know you don't like Marmite, but Sir Jeffrey divides even Yorkshire.
I like Jeffrey. Sam Allardyce looks like he's going to get the boot tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's fairly obvious. So you hired a man, you was in the bottom three in the table, you hired a man to get you out of the relegation. They're going to finish eighth in the table. Hasn't he done his job?
I'm not quite sure what the Everton fans have got against him, because, as he says, he's done the job he was taken to do there, as has David Moyes at West Ham.
There's another one that's going to be looking for a job.
Yeah, but they don't seem to have won over the fans, either of them.
No, I can't understand it. They finished eighth in the hardest league in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a bad result for them when you look at the money that's above them.
No, it was very interesting to hear Alan Shearer talking about Rafa Benitez. He finished 10th on that budget. Just imagine if he was given some money to spend. What could happen at St James's Park?
I'm completely unbiased about most things, as you know, but Rafa Benitez should be the manager of the season because what he's achieved with a championship side quite easily. And as you say, and I'm not as big a Mike Ashley basher as a lot of people are, because you've got to be sensible with your money. You should know more than anything. You come from Yorkshire. You've got to be sensible. And it's no good Mike Ashley spending £200-300 million on players that is, quite frankly, not there.
It's the first time I've heard you say sensible instead of tight.
And the club that he's taken from total bankruptcy is now turned around into a club that's standing on its own 2 feet. So you've got to be a little bit careful. But he deserves a decent pot of money, because that manager, can make that club. I still say it can be the biggest club in this country.
But basically, Mike Ashley has issued a statement last night or the night before that was virtually exactly the same statement he issued 12 months ago. So I don't think Rafa's going to be there very long. He's not going to put up with it for much longer.
I really hope you're wrong, and I really hope that this time they've proved it and they've got the money, because as we talked the other week, championship money is pittance to what they're going to get this time.
Yeah.
So let's just, for all Newcastle fans out there, I really hope that this one goes according to plan. And something else which I'm sure he's going to go according to plan is the Newark Half Marathon. This is the third year it's been back in its second life, so to speak. The first year it came back, Peter Davis was group commander, and everything went swimmingly, and it was a good day by all, and he collected all the gongs for being the good guy, and even though he will keep telling it's a team effort. And the second year he stood down because he wanted to run the event, and everything still worked brilliantly, and it was still a fantastic event because it's fairly unique in the fact that it's run by the Newark clubs, it's run by Newark people for Newark, and I love that. This year Peter's come back again,
and it is also, I just say, it is also one of the best run half marathons in the country. It is absolutely superb, because I've been in one or two of them, and when I finished the Bradford half marathon many, many years ago, I said to the organisers, as I was having the medal put around my neck, "You lot want to go down to Newark and see how to do this properly?" Because we had to stop at traffic lights. It was crackers.
Got traffic lights in Bradford?
Mm.
Crikey.
It's quite simple. When they go red, you all go.
Yes, I can imagine. Anyway, this year he's come back, but he's come back on his own terms. I'll be race director, but I'm also going to run it. And that's fair enough, and that's why the wonderful team behind him's got to work even harder than what they did last year. So let's start off and say hello to Peter, who's sitting back there. I think he's been training already tonight, so I think he's had a little power nap now. Peter, welcome back to Radio Newark.
Good evening, everyone. Could I first of all say well done to the Junior Newark Parkrun? It's fantastic. And in particular, our two grandchildren, who were some of the youngest ones there at 4 and 5, that love running on their own and really enjoyed it.
That was the... If I had to be critical of anything on the day, and far be it from me to be critical, there was an awful lot of adults that ran with the children. And I thought it was just going to be... Your grandchildren ran on their own, because no way they was going to run around with Mum. No way! We're going on our own. And that was it. Off they went. And they are what?
4 and 5.
4 and 5. Yeah. But there was an awful lot of adults. And I think that was probably because it was the first one, and everybody wanted to see what it was about. And that will probably diminish a little bit, and we'll let the kids just go off and have the glory on their own. I think that would be nice, but 142, I think, was there, and they didn't really know what to expect on the morning. We wasn't allowed to plug it, to broadcast about it. Was told, no, keep it quiet, because we don't want 500, and equally, we don't want 5. That was a cracking start. Yeah. Beans, as you both here then, and beans, as we both started, as we will come to the Newark Half Marathon, but beans, as you two have brought a subject up, I'm just going to get some debate here. Philippa, have that mic. Tony, just pass that mic to Peter a moment. Sorry, Philippa, I've just about knocked her out of the mic. Right. It was a fantastic event. Playing devil's advocate, do you think 4 and 5 years old is too young to be running in a competitive race? Because there was chips at the end, so there was running, it was competitive.
Yeah, I personally think the main issue will be if parents get too involved and start pushing their kids to run faster. Children, I feel, are naturally competitive, so they'll want to do well whatever they do, and that's a good thing. Yeah. So as long as they don't get pushed and they don't go too far and they run at their own pace, I've got no problem with it. What we don't want is children running to try and get PBs every week, running too long a distances, and that sort of thing.
That's the whole concept of the thing. I think, yeah, it's wonderful. It's fantastic. 4 to 14, that's a big age difference, Philippa.
Yeah, but it's a good way of... Where else can a 4-year-old go and run on their own for 10, 15 minutes in a controlled environment? Everyone talks about when they were younger, they would go off down Scone's Park all day, know what time to come back for tea. That it's not like that now. You can't just go off on your own as a 4 or 5 year old, but the park run gives them an opportunity to go and have fun. But if you look at the adult version on the Saturday, is every person there running it competitively? A lot of people are there as families, going, having a Saturday morning 5K.
And it can be argued the odd because they're handing the little chip in at the end.
Well, yeah, but you're always, your PBs are always your own PBs. So that if you do the first one at 4 and carry on to 14, they're only ever going to be, you're only as competitive as you are against yourself.
Tony and I sort of, he comes from Yorkshire, so the whole world's competitive. I don't like win-at-all-cost syndrome too young in your life. And that's across football and rugby and hockey and all those. You're going to spend a lot of your life playing to win. When you're 4 and 5, you play to enjoy.
You do. I can see where you're coming from as well. I know UK Athletics put quite rigid restrictions on how fast youngsters can run because of the fear of injury, the fear of developing joints incorrectly, muscles incorrectly and so on. But if you're going to run competitively as a child, week after week, day after day, then I don't agree with that. And as Philippa says, you can see, I personally, when I run park run, if I run 4 times in the month, I'll only run one hard. The others, I'll run a lot slower, or I'll pull slower people along and pace them.
I think we'll all agree, don't we, that the concept is brilliant and it's going to level out, and parents are going to have to be sensible about it as well. You know, they're not got to improve on that time every week. Do it because you're with a group of youngsters. And you should be enjoying yourself. And it just gets you into the sport for later on in life. Tony, just before we go to the break, your thoughts.
I think, as I've said many times before, I don't think there's such a thing as non-competitive sport. But, you know, you've got to look at the age groups and act accordingly and act sensibly. And at 4 and 5, you just want to get out and enjoy life, don't you? I mean, As you were saying, parents play such a major part in that because there's nothing worse than being at a kid's football match and hearing the things that are shouted on the touchline. It really is horrendous. You can destroy a child.
The ones I liked best was the parents that waited. Yeah. And when their children come back, the smile on the parents' faces and the smile on the children's faces say, look what I've done. That made that morning for me.
But you know when you talk about your grandkids playing rugby union up in the North East and the parents on the touchline aren't allowed to say a word, I think that's brilliant.
Quiet Sundays.
Because the first football match I covered for the Barnsley Chronicle many thousands of years ago was an under-10s football match. And I can't repeat what one lad shouted, what one dad shouted, to the young right back that was getting nutmegged 5 times every minute by this left winger. And what he shouted was just scandalous in men's football. And it is just a horrific introduction to youth football at the time. But that idea of the parents aren't allowed to say a word is perfect.
Yeah, you try standing on a touchline and not say a word. Anyway, we're all
fail miserably.
We'll have to walk off. We're all agreed that the junior park run made a fantastic start, and you know we look forward to that becoming part of the Newark Sporting Week because it was a cracking spectacle. Right, Tuesday night, 7:20, Amber time. Sticking with our athletics theme, it was an absolute magical weekend for Newark Athletic Club, both at the Lincolnshire County Championships and the Nottinghamshire County Championships. I'm going to say good evening to Amber Owens. Amber, I know you was out, the family was out, the whole of the club seemed to be out. I'm going to shut up, leave it all to you to tell us about possibly one of the best ever weekends for Newark AC. All yours.
Okay, hi. Anyway, so the first week, I think basically there was the Lincolnshire County Champs, which is what I do because I'm from Lincolnshire and a few other people in the club do that. And then there was the Notts one as well, and that's for most of the people in the club because most of the people that are in the Newark club obviously live in Nottinghamshire. So, and they were both, the Lincolnshire and the Nottinghamshire one, were both on Saturday and the Sunday. So for the first time in ever competing at discus, Ava managed to get a bronze medal at the Notts County Champs, so she had a really good day. And then Amelia Crispin got a great silver in the 1500 metres for the under 15 girls in the Knox counties, and she managed to get a PB of 4 minutes 59, so well done to her. And then for Team Sayer, Luke managed to get his whole family out because his mum, Lindsay, was county champion at javelin and discus, and Dean was silver at discus behind Craig Wadwell, who I think won 3 golds, and one of them was obviously for discus. And Luke, he was probably the star of the whole of all the weekend, because he got 8 medals out of the 9 events that he ran in, which means he came first, second or third, obviously, in those 8 events. And he came out with 7 PBs, and he was county champion for 400 metres and triple jump. So he had a really, really good day. And then something a bit different. I know that, obviously, Ella's in our club, and she ended up doing the Midlands charity Magic Mile, and she ended up getting an amazing time of 5:11.5. So she also had a really good run in that on the weekend. And then we get to the county champs for Lincolnshire, and on Saturday that was at, I think it was somewhere, I can't even remember where it was.
It was in Hull, which is not in Lincolnshire, but that's where you was.
Yeah, I can't remember then. And on Sunday it was at Boston, and Chloe Hubbard had a great race on the Sunday because she got a PB in the 3,000 metres. Linton Taylor was county champ in the 5K, and obviously he had a really good run, seen as the night before he did the Manchester BMC and did the 5K in 14:26. Catherine Booth also had a great 3K race at the Lincolnshire County Champs, and she got silver. Lauren Owens beat Tilly's sister, so the twins, so Lauren beat Tilly in the 300 metre hurdles, and they got gold and silver. Lauren also got a gold in triple jump and a silver in javelin, and Tilly came home with fourth in shot, also with a new PB. Tom Evans, oh, I feel really bad for Tom Evans because he's a really, really good runner, and he usually does, he does like 200 metres or 400 metres, and he ends up getting to English schools because he's a really good runner as well, but he ended up having to pull out because of his hamstring, so hopefully he'll be back on the mend and be able to run again. But yeah, and on the Saturday, I ran, and I did 1,500 metres, and I got a PB of 4 minutes 50, I think it was 4 minutes 52. So, yeah.
I've got 4 minutes, I've got 4 minutes 51, and it was also a gold medal run, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a gold. I don't like, I like being modest.
I know you leave it to me to say, but yes, you got the gold medal. So you are the county champion. I think there's more medals in that family from the weekend than ever before.
Yeah, I know. There's an awful lot. I mean, the question is, do we beat the Sayers in medals? I mean, Luke got, how many did I say? 8 medals.
Yes.
8 medals.
Mum and Dad both got one. Couple that I've missed when you mentioned them, or you didn't pick them up, was Katie McIntosh in the Knots one in the under 20s women's 400 metre hurdles, a gold medal performance.
Yeah, she got a PB as well.
So that was a fantastic result. And young Joseph Monk, I mentioned at the top of the show, in his first race as an under 13, he got a silver medal and a PB.
Yeah, I think his PB was 5:05, I think. He did have a really good run.
I cannot think in the last few years when Newark AC have had such a fantastic weekend, Amber.
I know. Oh, and there's another thing as well. I think. There's one more. I think Tim Bagley also got a silver medal in the 2K steeplechase in the Knox County Champ.
If you'd missed that one, the president would have never spoke to you again.
I know. There's so much to say.
There is absolutely so much. I mean, as it kept on coming through, and it was gold and silver and gold and silver, and they just kept on coming.
I mean, it was great, but I was just thinking about how much to say. I can't remember everybody.
Absolutely fantastic weekend, Amber. And yourself, and the twins all coming back with a glory weekend and set yourselves up on those results for the summer.
Yeah.
What so does this weekend bring a rest then, are you all off again?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm going to Bath because I'm doing a 1500 metre steeplechase.
Right.
Because obviously I still need to get English schools time. So I'm hoping that I will this weekend.
So that's what this weekend is all about, you getting English schools time in the steeplechase.
Yeah.
Right, and next Tuesday night, you can tell me some good news.
Okay.
All right, Amber, that was brilliant. Do pass our congratulations to everybody at Newark AC because that weekend was a performance that memories are made of.
I will.
Thanks, Amber.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The wonderful Amber Owens and a great weekend for him.
What was our 5K time? 14 minutes, something.
My God. Well, I don't know. It's in here somewhere.
Oh, that's absolutely outstanding.
It's 5K after doing the same race last night at the Manchester University. 14:26:44 for 5K. Have you seen Linton Taylor run? I mean, it's just...
You probably can't.
Oh, it's just...
At that pace.
But he runs... Everything is... It looks perfect the way he runs. I'm no running coach, but he just looks how it should be. It's just absolutely brilliant. Right, we've got to 7:30. We haven't talked about the Newark Half Marathon, which is what we're here to talk about. So, Philippa, ladies first. When is the Newark Half Marathon? How's the bookings going? Are you nearly got a full ask? Because you are limited, aren't you? You can't just carry on having runner after runner after runner. You have to say, I'm sorry, we're full. So tell us, just give us a bit of background into what's going to happen in August.
Okay, the race is held on the 12th of August. That's right, isn't it, Pia? Yep. 12th of August. Last check, I think we've got about 360 runners entered. Our capacity is 1,500. So it seems like we're a long way off, but... As per last year and the year before, we start filling up quickly. The closer you get to the event, the faster you start filling up. So
you sort of learn not to panic in the middle of May. And
this time last year, we were calling Peter up saying, 2016, how many runners did you have at this point? And he was like, no, you'll be fine. Just wait. And then we waited and then we got to a point where we were like, whoa, we need less. Stop entering people. We've not ordered enough T-shirts. That's what we were starting to panic for. So
I think, as Tony says, though, apart from the reputation, which we'll talk to Peter about it being tremendously well run, the actual course that you've chosen between you, when we first heard about the course, sort of, 3 years ago now, was going, well, no, because that's not in Newark and you're not going around the marketplace and that's not what it's all about and you're taking yourselves out of Newark, and Peter and everybody else are saying, look, just trust us. Just trust us. And we did, and it's actually proved to be as near to perfect half marathon course as you're going to find anywhere.
Yeah, I think the course has its plus and its minuses. But it depends which runner you speak to on what day. After the event, everyone hates it. Towards, a week or two after, everyone loves it. So it just depends as and when you speak to someone. Because we have made some changes. Some of the feedback we received was they wanted less field at the end. So we've taken out one of the loops of the field. But you're still running 13 miles. You just start a bit further back down Horton Lane.
So, why less field? Is it because it's predominantly a road race and that's what they want it to be? Is it different running on... It's a stupid question, isn't it? Is it different running on grass? That much different running on grass than running on road?
The change underfoot is noticeable when you've just done 12 and a half miles. To run an additional bit on the grass when you're tired, then you would notice the difference. Also, you can see the finish line and hear you guys chatting. So they want to get you guys into the finish line as quick as possible. So they want to enter the sconce and be on the finish.
Bring them into sconce now and turn left to the finish line. Is that
you'll still go right, and the loop of the field won't be as big. You kind of go down the side of the Tom Mann, then loop back round to the standard finish area in the second field.
So you're starting sort of 200-300 yards further towards Newark?
Yeah.
On Orton Road, really. So you're almost starting outside the entrance to Devon Park, that little road, St Catherine's Close, whatever it's called, aren't you?
Just about.
You're not going to be far off there, are you?
Yeah. No.
Okay, that's wonderful. Peter, I know when you won the Newark and Sherwood Sports Award, Volunteer of the Year, whatever it was, all that, you made a massive, great players. Hang on, this is not for me. This is for the team. And this is the unique thing I mentioned earlier on, that I don't know if there's any other half marathon that's actually run by not one club, not one organisation, but a group of you all getting together. And that it's just how it should be in my world.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And just to correct you, I'm event organiser this year. There are subtle differences. Jeremy's the race director.
So Jeremy's still the race director.
That's it.
Right.
And what it means is that we share the top load even more.
What it means is you can go for a run.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So Jeremy's got the responsibility on the day.
Right.
I've got more of the responsibility leading up to it. And tend to make sure that everything's coordinated.
But there again, that's going back to what we're saying, isn't it? Everybody's doing a job, and again, from different clubs.
That's it. And in answer to your question about the grass running, it's a bit like the cobbles on the London Marathon. You know, when you change a surface and runners really do feel it in their legs, it's the same as if you go to grass. Grass is softer, but because it's a different surface, you know, when you've done 13 miles, you can really feel it. So we've cut it down a bit. And also UK Athletics say that if it's a road race, you can't do above a certain amount on trail or grass. So we've made sure we're well.
You'll know this year, Mick, when you enter.
Well, I would love to be there, but circumstances mean I may have a problem. We'll come back to that. It's too late to enter now because you're nearly full. The clubs that's involved this year, tell us a little about who's... Yes,
it's the same four clubs that we actually started off with. So it's Newark AC, who were the originators of the previous half marathon. Not Fast, ourselves, Newark Striders, and Fernwood. Yeah, and as you say, that's what makes it unique. As far as I know, there are no other half marathons or road races that are run by more than one club. Yeah, and increasingly now more and more are run by commercial organisations.
Yes, and when you let a commercial organisation run something, it's being run for profit and not for the aid of the runners that's actually running the event. I get very on my eye horse about that one.
Well, I do as well, because it usually doubles the cost.
Yes.
And it's actually organised from the point of view of making money rather than the runners. So we concentrate a lot on things like the course, making sure that there's plenty of parking, plenty of toilets, all the things that runners actually rate highly, we make sure are there. We've got over 30 toilets this year.
How? I know you're not trying to make money out of it, but you obviously can't run at a loss either, because that would be ridiculous to do that. Well, without going into great detail, what does it cost to put the Newark Half Marathon on? In round figures.
Yeah, if 20,000 plus. And if you think that road closures alone cost £6,000-£7,000 just to close the roads on the day.
The rest is Peter's organisation fee.
Myself, yes. That's myself and Jeremy in September. Going on a whoopee somewhere.
That's why she's Stacey's road manager. £20,000?
Yeah.
So where do you get £20,000 income?
Well, we charge £24 or £22 per entry. So that brings in a large amount of money. But also, increasingly, through people like Ernie Clark on the committee and his small team, we get more and more sponsorship as well, year on year. So it's now actually called the Eden Hall Middlebeck Half Marathon, because both those have put several £1,000 into the run.
And we have a numerous Newark businesses. As soon as you say the Newark Half Marathon, they're like, what can we do? We've got Newark Interiors. I'm going to have to read the back of Peter's T-shirt.
Lean forward, Mr. Davis.
Sports Clinical. What else have we got? Lincolnshire Runner.
Co-media.
Co-media. Hannah does all of our website. Wiggle Print, they're doing printing our T-shirts. And then this year we're also supporting two additional charities. So there's the Beaumont House, Newark Mind and the Children's Bereavement.
They actually came in a few weeks ago. Our three ladies who actually, and I must get this sorted out, they call themselves Bananarama. They think they are Newark's Bananarama, the three of them. So,
do not let them sing.
I'm trying to get that there. We need them on stage. But those three wonderful, wonderful charities, and they do so appreciate what these runners are going to do for them.
And it was fantastic when we were talking to them. One of the committee does that, Holly Davies, gets all the charities together. They automatically said, oh no, we'll just share the money between the three of us. We'll do it all between the three of us. We didn't have to do anything at all. They just took it over, and now we'll hopefully raise lots and lots of money.
Yeah, the three charities are going to be taking on, because it's been held on a Sunday, we've now pushed Junior Park Run out of their allotted.
You see, they just get started.
I know, and then
they get kicked out.
Yeah, so there will be a 2K fun run on the day. Once the main run has started, the 2K fun run will be held just afterwards, about 10 o'clock start, I think it is.
So the park run's just been put back an hour and a half.
All three charities are organising that. So all the runners, all the entrance fees will just go directly to them, and they'll split it up three ways.
It's fantastic. And it is the way it should be. Right, let's just go through. I mean, I know Ernie's the wonderful Ernie. He is. Well, people's not going to say no, are they?
Does he pay you?
No, but he is. He is radio gold. He really is radio gold. So he's out there getting sponsors in. You've got Becky Gallup on board somewhere as well. What's our Becky doing?
She really does a lot of the publicity, so things like Facebook and so on. We all tend to help out with giving things like leaflets out, other park runs, other races and so on, but Becky tends to lead that for us. So
before I forget, any locals who haven't put the name forward by now, and you should have put your name forward, you've got no excuse if you're local.
Yeah.
If you come from afar, okay, that your time will come, but how do they enter the Newark Half Marathon?
There's two aspects. Entering is just on the website. You just get on there, you fill it in, results base then notify you that you've been filled in. The other thing that you can choose to do, which is what Philippa is really doing a good job at, is you can actually volunteer as well. And we can never have too many volunteers for the day.
Philippa is in charge of volunteers.
Yes, for my sins,
You're captain volunteer,
right? Second year of looking after volunteers.
Well, such a good job last year, you see.
That's it. I've also managed to recruit another member of Ask Riders, Kate, alongside me. She's co-piloting the volunteers with me. But she's great. But I think between the two of us, we might start having harassment orders taken out against us, because every time I see Kate, she's like, I've got another volunteer for you. I've stopped asking where she's getting them from and what she's doing to get them, but we're doing well. For us to be able to hold the event, we need a minimum of 80 volunteers. We're halfway there, we've got 40. But again, feeding back from our information that we received last year, it was hot on the day. And we'd like to put another water station in.
Yeah.
So to be able to put another water station in, we need another group of volunteers. So we're kind of pleading for any organisations who could get together four or five people for a water station to get in touch and let us know.
The actual forecast was wrong, as I remember, wasn't it? It was forecast for a cool and cloudy day, and sort of come 10 o'clock, the cloud parted in the heat.
Yeah. Well, we have put the start forward to 9:30. Peter wanted it at 9 o'clock, but when I realised that meant me getting out of bed about 4 o'clock in the morning, we compromised at 9:30.
Because, of course, from your point of view in particular, there's an awful lot of work to do before the race starts.
There is, yeah, but we seem to, as a committee, we seem to come together. There's people marking out lines the day before, goodie bags. 1,500 goodie bags. I've never seen so many orange Sainsbury's bags. Opening them is a nightmare, but we've got people volunteering before the day to fill the goodie bags. 1,500 bananas need to go somewhere. and also be got rid of at the end of the event.
I take it the living rooms not won't be yours then for the week or two before.
No, I rent. Mum and Dad have moved out the children now, and now the house becomes the the hub for the goodie bag filling.
Good old Ernie, fantastic. It is the third year back. It's vindicated bringing it back, hasn't it? I mean, the first year we vindicated that, but now we sort of, it's not sort of one hit wonder. It's back, and it's back to stay.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the previous half marathon was very, very popular, particularly with runners. So what we've tried to do is slowly increase that. We started off from community involvement, so we based it mainly round Newark, making it a family event. But now, for instance, last year we had two international runners who gave us excellent feedback on the course, for instance, saying that it's personal best potential.
Well, the actual winner last year went on to represent Wales at the Commonwealth
Ireland,
Games. Ireland at the Commonwealth Games.
That's correct, yeah. And an hour and 4 minutes for a half marathon on an undulating come flat course is good in that heat. On that day,
that record may stand for a while. Do you
well, we don't know, because we've got another aspect to our run this year. DB Wood, local guys, they're offering £500 for the male and female, the first male and female, who the male can break it or gets close to 66 minutes, and the female 78 minutes. 78 minutes. Yeah. So
the time set 66 and 78.
Yeah.
That's what they've got to break.
£500
for 500 quid.
Yeah, it's on the website.
And some, in the small print is £100 has to go to me, but no one ever reads the small print, do they? So
you make sure it's there, girl.
No, so yeah, the guys there have been really generous.
So it sounds like
that money.
You trot off on a Sunday morning on a regular basis to run the course, don't you? Which is intrigues me a little bit.
We're going out this Sunday. We're going to run part of the course, but we're also going to run around the river because the weather's so nice.
Why do you go and run the course? So you can get used to it, or is there any underlying reason in
team
this?
Team building, predominantly. So it brings the four clubs together. It brings anyone else that wants to help us with the half marathon together.
I like to get people to run it as many times as possible so that they don't want to run it on the day, and then they'll come and volunteer.
So the other team building thing we do is we've held this year for the first time two presentations. The second one was just last week, where we get people come along to talk. Philippa was one of them, Jeremy was the other one, and we got Dean from Sports Clinical talking, and his talk was fascinating, talking about things like dehydration and so on and what you should and shouldn't do, and some of the misunderstandings around things like dehydration. You know, that you can't drink too much. You certainly can. If you drink too much, you will deplete yourself and run into real problems. You lose sodium predominantly through your kidneys, so you've got to control it. Yeah, that's all on the website as well, if people choose to
read
it.
Are they drinking water, or is it a juice of some that you put out for
water,
them?
If you drink water, it will take sodium with it through your kidneys. If you drink electrolytes, it will be a bit better, but you will still be depleting your body of certain elements that will be useful.
So what does Mo Farah drink then? Because he had a right iffy fit, didn't he, when he hadn't got his own drink at the London Marathon. So what?
That would be electrolytes, but they're very small amounts. Most of the half marathon runners.
I'm going to act totally dumb here, because Tony don't know either. What's electrolytes?
It's basically salt.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't want to put a couple of spoonful of salt in a big pint of water and drink that. That'd be gross. They're sort of flavoured.
Yeah.
So it's a flavoured water that's heavily salted.
It's got salt in it. So because when you sweat, it's not just water that comes out of your body. It's salt. So as you're sweating, if you're replenishing your body with just water, you're not replacing your salt levels, which can damage your kidneys. We're really selling running now, Peter, to be like, come join the half marathon and become dehydrated. That's not what we're saying. But so before a half marathon, you just need to drink, you're supposed to drink 2 litres of water a day. So you just up it a bit and, you know, have some salt in your chips, so, that kind of thing.
You two are special because you sort of are athletes. Tony and I should drink 2 litres of water a day.
I think that's what they said.
1,500 to 2 litres, but certainly no more than 2 litres, otherwise you flush all of these salts out of your body.
That's not alcohol, by the way.
There's a lot of water in the beer, aren't there?
You're drinking bad beer, Tony.
No, I'm absolutely fascinated
by it. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the push on drinking water is through the commercial companies, because they've got a vested interest in selling bottled water. And that's the other issue we've got with the half marathon. I keep pushing the team to think ecologically. So things like plastic water bottles, we're trying to move away from as hard and as quickly as we possibly can.
And I'm trying to fight Peter on getting one water station with water bottles and the rest with cups.
Yeah.
But I think I'm slowly winning. To get that, but hopefully we can get some sponsorship to get water bottles.
If you're capable of get 80 volunteers, I'm absolutely sure you'll grind poor old Peter into the ground.
He'll appreciate it on the day when he's running.
Right, this Striders Love Fest is going to continue with Graham Welsh. You're listening to the Newark Striders Sports Show here on Radio Newark, and next up from the Striders, it's Graham Welsh to tell us what the rest of the crew got up to at the weekend. Graham, we've got Peter and Philip in the studio talking all things half marathon. So I'm going to leave it to you to tell us what the rest of the Newark Striders Club got up to over the weekend.
Right, well, thanks very much. Yeah, I think I'll start before the weekend, actually. Last Wednesday night, we had three Striders out at the appropriately named East Midlands Grand Prix event at the Silverstone Circuit. We had Jess Gordon, Stephen Tomlinson and Tom Young. All three got personal best times there in a 10K event. Then onto the weekend, we had the usual sort of plethora of runners at the various park runs. We had a bit of a Newark Striders park run away day to Clifton, so over 20 Striders went to there and enjoyed visiting and touring to Clifton Park Run. On to Sunday and the races there. We had a bit of a variety, really, of half-marathon racing right up through the country, really. We had up in Sunderland, we had Richard Scott did the Sunderland Half Marathon, 1 hour 40, so a great time there for Richard. Three up at the Leeds Half Marathon, Steve Martin first in, 1 hour and 45, followed by Chris Draper. He did a personal best time of 2 hours and 5, and Rob Wilkinson, 2 hours and 27. He was a little bit slower than he might have been because he gallantly stopped and assisted a runner who was having a bit of trouble, so that slowed his own time up a bit, but that's kind of the way that runners tend to do things, never go past anybody who's obviously struggling. Further south, Leicestershire, Bosworth Half Marathon. Jean-Louis Ballester did the Bosworth Half Marathon there to 1 hour and 44 minutes. And then closer to home, really, but still in Leicestershire, the Clawson 10K. That was a nice event, a cross-country event, where a bit of good technique going across the stiles was certainly in order. And we had six runners there. And again, that was a 10K event. So John Rawson, 57 minutes. Myself, I was 58 minutes. David Taylor, 60 minutes. And Nick Harrison, 79 minutes. And we had a couple of club members that were walking the event. They were planning to do that. They'd had a busy day the day before, so always planning to walk that very nice scenic event. Again, with people involved in the junior park run and helping out with the Newark Striders stand, Newark Half Marathon stand at the county show. So things that are coming up in the next week or so, well, tomorrow night, a busy night for the club and for all local clubs, really. The Notts AAA Summer Series, the Newark event, really. So I expect we'll probably have 30-plus Newark Striders out there. Peter Davis is with you. We'll probably know the exact numbers, but certainly be a good turnout there up at Newark, running from Flowserve up to Cottam and back. Hopefully an event not quite as hot as last year. It was very hot there, and Ernie Clark's water station up at Cottam was doing a roaring trade. And then on to the weekend, we've got more marathon action, really, back into the end, really, of the spring marathons. We've got eight Striders doing the Liverpool Marathon, and we've got Gemma Latham doing the Emery's Trail Marathon in Cornwall, so I'll be interested to hear about that when Gemma comes back. And back at Liverpool, we've got eight Striders doing the Liverpool Half Marathon. And then we'll be involved in other stuff as well, the All Clubs Run that you've just been hearing about from Peter and Philippa. We're having hopefully a good club turnout with other local clubs to take part in the and the All Clubs run. There's 9 mile and 5 mile options, I think. Again, perhaps a few up at Southwell Racecourse as well for the Chase the Rainbow Colour Run charity event.
Oh, you get into a mess doing that one.
Oh yeah, I was throwing the paint around at that last year. It was very messy, but great fun.
I need to keep. We're going to try and keep a close eye on Gemma and talk to her next week as well, because anything Cornwall gets onto this show fairly sharpish, and to do the Imrie's one, I think that might be just the bit of a classic around that area. So we're going to try and catch up with you, Graham. The best of luck to all the Striders tomorrow night and over the weekend. And you're going to come back and tell us again next week how they all got on.
Be delighted to.
Thank you so much.
Bye now.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you. Bye. Graham Walsh there now, new Striders correspondent. So we're going to just ask our two guests what they've got coming up now. Philippa, I know I joked at the beginning about being Stacey's roadie. You are going with Stacey to Bolton in June, because when we sort of made a list at the start of the year of the most important things that need to happen sporting-wise this year, after last year's events and everything that was going off around it, it would be absolutely wonderful if she achieved it this time, wouldn't it?
She'll achieve it. Her training's going well. The other week she managed a 100-mile bike ride, having been a little bit wobbly the night before on a bouncy castle and a few gins. So if you can bike 100 miles after that, I think you can complete an Ironman.
Well, we had her in the studio. She never mentioned the gins and the bouncy castle, did she? She fished that one out somewhat. Make a note of that one, Tony, won't you? So we do wish her the best luck, and we know very well she's in most capable hands this time. And you're going to give her marks of where she's got to be by certain times, which is where it all sort of fell down last year, didn't it?
Yeah.
So that's going to... What are you doing running-wise?
Well, I'll be running tomorrow in the Summer League. That's any Newark residents, just avoid the cycle path to Cotton tomorrow, because it'll be pretty full of runners. So yeah, there'll be that. That's about 6 miles, so we'll be doing that. And then just concentrating on the Newark half and training my boyfriend up to win the in 6 minutes, because I'm on a holiday.
You want 500 quid for the holiday. That's what it's all about, you see. Well, the £400, because there's 100 in the...
Oh, yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Peter, you'll be running tomorrow night, I've absolutely no doubt.
Yes, for sure. I love the summer series. And then the following week, my other interest is wine, so I'm director of FALTS, Founder of the Alliance of Runners and Tasters.
Director of?
FALTS.
Brilliant. What's it? Tell us again.
Founding Alliance of Runners and Tasters. So it's a group of people that are interested.
That's wonderful. I love that one.
And so I'm director, but our consultant is an ex-restaurant owner, and he's sommelier standard on wines, and he gets us into the International Wine Fair for free in Olympia.
So quite literally then, you're the old Farts?
Yes.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely.
So that's a separate
form of training. He'll be joining by tomorrow.
Separate form of training. And then the other thing we've got coming up, of course, is the Gordon Wellborn.
Of course,
at the start of June, and that really is a challenge. Anyone that's not done it, do give it a try.
It sounds easy, doesn't it? You know, just turn up on a Monday night and run 5K, whatever it is, and
5K four nights, isn't it?
You have to do it the next night and the next night, and you see them on a Monday night, and they're all full of it, and they think this is wonderful. And the time they get to Friday, and they realise they've got 10K to do. And again, that's unique to Newark, isn't it?
It is, and it's wonderful.
And we have Rob Orgill come in, because we love Rob. He's a bit like Dad. He comes in, he tells us a joke or two, and we just sit back and sort of mesmerised by him. But very quickly then, once again, Newark Half Marathon is?
12th of August.
So keep off Orton Road and all...
And it is an event for all the family. We've got a race village, we've got... people come in, food and drink stalls, bouncy castles, family fun run, parents going off and doing 13 miles. So it is a day for everyone.
Of course it is, and it's a fantastic day. It's a fantastic day. Peter, one more thing. How do they put the names down if they haven't already? And if they haven't, and you already know what you should have done.
Okay, just Google Newark Half Marathon or get onto the website. Get onto the website, just say enter. And then it will tell you all the rest. Yeah, and you've got 13 weeks, which is ideal. So if you haven't run a half marathon before, you've still got time to train for it. If you have and you just want to hone up, you've got plenty of time.
And also you can go on to the website. There's a volunteers tab. And if you want to get involved to volunteer on the day, drop us an email on there and we'll get back to you.
And one final thing, we've just videoed the course this weekend with two runners and myself cycling with the camera on it, and that'll appear on the website in 2 weeks' time. So if people want to see what the course is like, we've condensed it down to 12 minutes, they can run it.
Do they get 500 quid for 12 minutes?
No, but they do look, because it's been speeded up, it's got that music like, that's what they do look like. It is good.
We're going to have to listen to that, we really are. Thanks both. You both come in again in July. Yes. And have an update for me, and because we're getting very close then, so both come in July. Tomorrow night we're going to talk to the Newark and Sherwood Sports Club of the Year, the Newark Canoe Club, because it's their big open day coming up. Philippa, Peter and you, thank you very, very much. We'll see you tomorrow. We love you.